clouds and 34.
8:42 at WEOL.
Flacco on fourth down and three. Play clock is at 5. I don't know if they're going to snap it. Play clock is at 2. They do. He rolls right. He throws the middle. It's wide open. Down at the 25. At the 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown. It's David Bell.
A lot of excitement. Good day if your day was David. David Njoku, David Bell, helping with the scoring in Browns yesterday's their win, 31-27. Over the Jaguars. Our clock this morning, Scott Petrak, is brought to you by Jamelis Wilson Maryland Fritz Company, attorneys at law and Royal Business Equipment. And Scott joins us this morning. How are you doing today, Scott?
I'm good. How are you guys?
All right. Let's hear what Myles Garrett had to say.
Officiating was a travesty today. It was honestly awful.
So where do we go from here with that? And it seems that we're going to get into this more larger conversation, but a lot of teams around the league are kind of voicing this, much to the dismay of the NFL, who doesn't like it. Are they going to have a harder look at this sort of thing? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think Myles Garrett will be fined, because I don't think you're supposed to say or allowed to say stuff about the officiating like that. You know, they look at the officiating every week. You know, those guys are graded. It's just not as public as, you know, with players. And there's fines that are public for players. You just don't see that with the officiating. It's difficult because I know so many people pay so much attention to it. The replays are so great nowadays that every mistake an official makes is kind of there for the world to see. They've tried to fix some of that, right, with the replay challenges and even some of the eye in the sky where they call down and they change some calls that are wrong before they get, you know, before they're implemented. So I get the frustration. I do. And, you know, there's so much money bet on these games that leads to the frustration as well, adds to the frustration, but it's a hard job. And I think I don't like the constant criticism and the constant focus on the officiating because, number one, I don't think it changes the outcome of many games. You know, I do believe that it evens out most times. You know, fans don't see it that way. They focus on the ones where they feel they were, kind of aggrieved. But I think they often do work out. And I just think that's a tough way to watch a game, is focusing on all the mistakes of the officials. I think you have to overcome that as a team. Now, I get some are really difficult to do that. And if it's at the end of the game, and, you know, I understand Myles Garrett complaining because I watch some of those snaps and see them live and go, oh my gosh, how do they not call a flag there or throw a flag there? So I understand the frustration. I just think I don't like when the teams and the coaches and the players put the focus on the officiating. You could throw the media in there too, because it's a really hard job. I don't know if there's a solution besides guys, you know, besides the men and women out there in the striped shirts trying to, you know, do their hardest. So it's a tough spot, but I don't like when that's a conversation, because I think it overshadows all the other stuff about the game.
Sometimes it's almost like being an eyewitness. If you talk to people of an eyewitness of something that happens, you get all these different versions of what they thought they saw or what they didn't see.
Yeah.
And so that kind of plays into it. It's sort of the stew of the whole game, though, right? I mean, you have to assume at some point a call may go your way, not go your way. So you have to just go with what you're able to do, continue to do it until either you get called or don't get called, or just try to find a way to do better on the next play. I mean,
I agree with you. That's kind of how I feel. And, you know, I think it's harder, obviously, if you're a coach or a player and there are certain snaps that you, and I don't have any problem with people arguing with the officials during the game. You know, like, I think that's part of the gig. And maybe you're arguing gets you a call later in the game, right? We've seen that happen. You know, the officials are human. Sometimes you have in the back of your head, oh man, I missed a call. Maybe I, you know, make up for it, whether it's subconscious or not. So I don't have an issue with that. I just have an issue with the public, the public focus on it. And, for example, the Chiefs are all mad about an offside call on their wide receiver late in the game. It was the right call. So they went public with it. We're ripping the officials, and it's the right call. So when you cloud bad calls, well, you know, complaining about bad calls with complaining about good calls, I think that's even worse.
Right. Well, if it's not your, if it goes against you, it's always a bad call. That's sometimes the mentality that you enter into it. But let's talk about the good from yesterday. Joe Flacco continuing the progress. He seems to be pretty much in control.
He looks great, and it's really amazing. And I'm going to try to write about it more today. you know, the guy hasn't played. It was like 11 months since the last time he played. He wasn't with the team. He was just throwing in a field, or on a field, not like in a cornfield, on a football field with his brother. And they weren't running routes. They would just go to a spot like, okay, this is where the out would end up, right? You're running a 20-yard out, go stand there, and he would throw it, and his brother would throw it to him. And then, you know, go run a slant, or go stand where a slant would be, and he'd throw it. And yet he comes out, it's like he rolls out of bed, shows up, has 1 week on the scout team, isn't active, you know, still on a practice squad. And then next 2 weeks starts and throws for a combined 565 yards, I think it is, in two games, 254 and then 311. Five touchdowns in two games. It hasn't been perfect, but it's been really good, and it gives the Browns a chance to win. It has in the last 2 weeks. I think he'll continue to give the Browns a chance to win. The offense looks good with him. Kevin Stefanski can call a bunch of different plays. He's, you know, at 38 years old, I think I knew he could throw it, right? Like, that was never an issue. He's always been one of the best throwers in the league. You wonder if he can still move at 38 and not having played a lot. And he was never a great, he's never like a running threat. But we saw it yesterday. He could get outside the pocket when he needs to. He can run those play-action rollouts, the bootlegs. You played the clip of Jimmy Donovan on that 4th-and-3. Flacco moves, you know, it's probably 5 steps, but moves enough to give himself time with that free blitzer to buy time and get the ball to David Bell for that touchdown. So he's got enough of that left at 38. He still throws it well. Obviously, he thinks well. You know, you don't lose that as a quarterback. So it's such a good story already, and it has the potential to be an unbelievable story if he can take this team to the playoffs, and then who knows what, not having been on the team in any team until November 20th.
Let's talk about this home field advantage. How important, I mean, we look at it the way it is, and we kind of think, well, if we get to the playoffs and have a home field in somewhere, there could really be a lot of special things happening here.
Yeah, it'll be tough. Because to get the home field advantage in the playoffs, because the Ravens keep winning, and you know it's a two-game lead. Not to think Browns can't close that out, and I think the Ravens' schedule is really hard. They could have used the Ravens to lose in overtime yesterday. Because you're right, the Browns have just been so good at home, 6-1. The only loss is that Ravens game where Deshaun Watson thought he was going to play and then didn't play, and then Dorian Thompson Robinson was overmatched. But you can see it, the energy from the crowd and from the players to the crowd. It's palpable. You can see it out there. I'm watching all the defensive guys, you know, exciting, you know, trying to rile up the crowd and enjoying it. And the defense plays so much better at home. And, you know, part of me wonders why that doesn't translate to the road. It should, you know, but I do think the energy is part of that. They get a better jump off the line of scrimmage because the offensive teams have to be in silent counts, and that affects the tackles getting off the ball. It's been huge. And not that the fans haven't always been great, but the records haven't always been great at home in the last 20-plus years. And that's changed this year, and it's really changed under Kevin Stefanski. I don't know, off the top of my head, I don't know what his record is at home, but I think it's a win at 2 out of 3, like a 667 winning percentage. So he's made a big difference there too.
Scott, the Browns have a couple of games coming up against opponents that early in the season looked like they were in for real trouble, but they've come on now. We've got, I think, the New York Jets and the Bears. They're playing better.
Yeah, this league is crazy, right? Every time you try to play the schedule game in May, you know, it's fun to do, but it's foolish, right? It doesn't apply. And the reality is it doesn't apply from week 10 to week 12. Or week 6 to week 12, whatever. Like, pick a time in the league and things can change. Nobody thought Joe Flacco would be the quarterback, right? At a point, it was P.J. Walker, and the Browns opponent said, oh, it's P.J. Walker quarterbacking, right? Now it's Joe Flacco, and he's playing pretty well. The Bears, Justin Fields is healthy again. I think they've won 2 in a row. They had a good win yesterday. They're 5-8. The early line I saw was the Browns are only 3-point favorites at home. It felt like it would be bigger than that. So, yeah, you're right. They're playing well. The Jets got a win yesterday, and Zach Wilson, who's been bad all year and was benched, he played well at quarterback, right? So you just never know. Houston, they were supposed to be a walkover, and then they were playing really well. But now C.J. Stroud's in the concussion protocol. They're great rookie quarterback. So you just never know. It comes down to, it's cliche as it sounds, you have to play well every week. You have to show up, whether you got injuries or not, and everybody's got injuries. Some are more severe than others, you know, and more numerous than other teams. You got to show up, play well, try not to turn the ball over, and play well in critical moments. And it doesn't matter who's on the other side of the ball. Yes, depending on the quarterback, some of them are easier than others. But you just never know. And the Browns have chances here. They got four games left. You know, I think they'll be favored in at least two of them, and they probably need two more wins to get to the playoffs. But each game is winnable, and each game is losable. So you just got to play well on that Sunday or Thursday, whatever day they're playing.
I like that quote. I'm going to keep that one. Each game is winnable. Each game is losable for the most part. And that's, as you say, any given Sunday kind of distilled down to that. Yeah. Scott, we appreciate your time this morning. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Petrak joining us. The Petrak Report, brought to you on WEOL by Jamelis Wilson Merrill and Fritz Company, attorneys at law and Royal Business Equipment. You can follow Scott in the Chronicle Telegram and also at brownzone.com.